I am Laura. I'm a recovering anorexic and compulsive overeater. And thank you for asking me to lead today. I've been to this meeting before. I actually have been to this meeting in person. I think it's the same one. It was sort of out by San Dimas area, if I remember, like in an OA office. I think it's the same meeting. It was really good then. I assume it's still, you guys still have a strong fellowship. I really liked the reading, and I actually haven't done the for today reading yet. So for today, so that it, it's one of those things that it's very poignant for my life where I am right now, so for me, it's not just about living in the future when this like magical time will come, but I also sometimes get caught up living in the past of things that have been. And it can be very hard for me to be in the present and aware. I'm often, either forward thinking, which is often a cause of anxiety, or backwards thinking. Being present is something that I'm working on. And in this program, I've learned a lot about how to do that and how to be more present. For me, a lot of that also has to do with a practice of gratitude, of being aware of the abundance in my life and what I have, not what I don't have. Which also, so one of the best pieces of advice I've gotten in this program was actually at my very first meeting, the woman who I sat next to, who I don't know, said to me, "Listen for what you have in common, not what you don't." And it's very good advice for a 12-step program, but it's also just sort of good advice, I think, in general, is to listen for how you are the same as people, where the common ground is, how you can identify and how you can be a part of. I've spent a lot of my life not being a part of being separate and different, or in my head, separate and different. So, it was good advice, and it helps me also stay present and stay aware and engaged. So, I'll talk a little bit about like my journey, just because I don't know that you guys have known it. So, I originally grew up in New York City, and it's a very, very competitive environment, at least where I grew up, and at the time, you really like, it was a very common phrase and very believed by most people, which is like, you can never be too rich or too thin. I'm sure you've all heard the expression. But it was definitely, I mean, it was an expression, but it was also really like a way of life, how people thought. Like when I grew up, there really were not, there were some people, everybody was on a diet all the time, including my parents, who were never really overweight. So there's always like the diet of, there's the Scarsdale diet, the grapefruit diet, the Pritikin diet, the whatever. But there really were not very overweight people. There were not obese people, as far as I knew in my life. I never really saw anyone like that. It was not in my world. So when people were very sort of fattest and anti-fat, it wasn't even an extreme or a health issue. Like my father would straight up say he did not like fat people. And to my father, fat was not thin. That was the definition. So you didn't need to be obese. You didn't need to have health issues. If you were not thin, you were fat. And that was a real problem for me, not just because I struggled with my weight, but because I understood that that was the goal, and I saw people around me not struggle with that, right? My sister is naturally thin. She just, the truth is, she really just doesn't like food all that much. I mean, she eats, she's fine, but she just, it's like not her thing. And my mother is kind of the same. My father and I both are much more food oriented. And I've come to believe that my father was a compulsive overeater. However, he never had a weight problem. So it never showed. Thank you. That music is awesome. That's excellent. Thank you. So he never had a weight problem. So for him, if he could sit down and eat an entire Entenmann's cake, that wasn't necessarily a problem for him because he was so athletic that he didn't have a weight problem. So those two things were like not associated for him, right? And I've learned in program that like there are certain things that are problematic behavior, and whether or not it shows up on your body doesn't really matter. Like what drove me into program, for example, I'll go back to my story, but what I came into program with was my therapist was talking to me about OA. I had never heard of OA. I didn't know anything about it. I really had no experience with 12-step anything. I had a few friends who were like recovered alcoholics, but I didn't know when they were an alcoholic, and I really didn't know anything about their 12-step program in AA. So I came into program because I couldn't pass the kitchen in my open plan house without grabbing something. I wasn't particularly overweight. I actually weighed less. I weighed less than I do now. And but I knew that it was compulsive. I knew that like a few handfuls of almonds, some blueberries, some whatever, it wasn't necessarily like unhealthy food, but that compulsivity that I couldn't stop myself from having a handful or a bite of, knowing consciously I was not hungry. And there was no reason that I needed to have whatever it was that I was eating. And it was driving me crazy, right? This disconnect between what I understood as like rational, logical behavior, which is I'm not hungry and I don't need to eat anything, and the compulsivity of constantly grabbing something. And I knew it was compulsive. And so that's, I came into program because of the compulsive behavior. I have to say, had I known that people came to OA to lose weight, I probably would have been here a long time before. But I didn't know that. I had never heard of OA. I really came because of the mental issues that I was having, right? So just going back to the origins, around 15, 16, I went on a diet and basically just never stopped, right? And I ended up anorexic. I ended up at about I believe 88 pounds was my lowest weight. And because I was fairly muscular, I never really looked like what people think anorexics look like, which, just as an aside, was a little bit of a point of shame for me, right? Like I wanted to look like that. I wanted to be sort of super skinny and even skeletal looking, but I never did. Right. So that was for me like it felt like a failure. And I can tell you basically in my entire life, and it is true to this day, at any moment in my life, I would tell you that one, I ate too much. Even as an anorexic, when I ate 300 calories a day, I ate too much. And if I could just eat less, it would be better. I would be fine. And at any given point in my life, I really would like to be a little bit thinner, whatever it is, right? And again, at 88 pounds, I wanted to be a little bit thinner. So those two things are constantly and consistently like my base and just like how I see the world, how I see my world and my body. When after the initial anorexia, episode, I guess. I sort of talked my way out of going to a rehab and eating disorders clinic, and I ended up going to see a specialist therapist, like really no joke, 3 times a week for 2-hour sessions each. That's 6 hours of therapy a week in high school. And I had to eat lunch with him on Fridays, which was like horrifying to me to eat in front of someone else and do that. But I did get some recovery, and I gained some weight, which was horrifying to me. But and then I'd say, like, through the rest of my 20s, it was sort of on and off that way. In now that I'm in program, thank you. In program, I've learned to look at certain episodes in my life as anorexic relapse. So before program, I never ever would have called it that. First of all, 97% of the people in my life did not know that I had a history of anorexia. I never would talk about it, and I would never, if anorexia or eating disorders came up in conversation or in movies or whatever, I was silent. I would never talk about it. The people who knew me then knew, but that was it. And, it was, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I was concerned, something that happened, like how you might break a leg, it heals, not relevant in my life anymore. And I actually said that exactly like that to my first sponsor in our first conversation, that, just, for disclosure purposes, this happened, whatever, it's not really relevant in my life. My problem now is that I can't stop eating, not that I'm not eating enough. And she kind of laughed, and she was like, well, we may find that that's not true. And so, having gone through the steps and been in program, I've now been in program over 8 years, I do see other points in my life where I previously characterized them as good, right? These were like good periods, which meant I was losing weight or not eating a lot, as really anorexic relapse, which I would not have characterized it that way before. And generally, until I came into program, which was my early 40s, my life was really divided up either into good periods or bad periods. Those were the two, right? And I am also a compulsive overeater. So I was either like on a diet and exercising a lot. I also have some exercise addiction issues. And like my weight was going down, and that was good. I will also say during those periods, there are also some of the times where I was the most unhappy in my life, despite the fact that I was losing weight and much thinner than I am now. Because that's all I did, right? All I did was obsess about what I was eating, how I was eating, what it was going to be. I was a numbers person. So I would calculate all the calories and what I was exercising, and then start to manipulate everything. And I didn't really have friends or see friends. I was always very successful professionally, so that was helpful and always like a happy spot. But that was basically it. I worked, and I obsessed about food and exercise. And then I would fall off inevitably, right? It could be years. It could be months. And then it was a free for all, right? If I wasn't really restrictive and prescriptive about what I was eating and exercising, then I was just like, whatever. So I would just eat with abandon. I think you all know how that turns out. So my weight would fluctuate a lot. I think, aside from the initial anorexic thing, generally, in those good periods, my lowest weight would usually end up somewhere around 100-ish, 105, to the highest weight was probably around 140, 145, and I am 5 feet tall. So it's an enough of a swing that it was very obvious to other people, right? And people would comment on my weight, which drove me insane. And I now have a thing like, just don't comment on people's weight. I don't care if they lost weight. You don't have to say you've lost a ton of weight. Okay. First of all, that's an insult and people don't understand that. Just say, like, you look good today, right? Don't make it about weight. And I don't understand why culturally we can't get over that. So I ended up coming into program. I was at that time engaged to be married. I was getting married a few months later. We had just bought this house that we now live in and tore it. We had bought a house, we tore it down, built this house that we now live in. So I had my own business. I still do. So part of this program, when it's like, everything in your life needs to change, that was really upsetting for me. And I really almost dropped out of program very early on based on that idea, because I'm like, I don't want my life to change. I'm about to get married. I'm building a new house. I have a thriving business. Like, no, I don't want everything to change. And it was hard for me to get over understanding that really it's a mental game, right? Like, no one's asking me to like close my business or leave my now husband. But because my thinking was always so black and white, that's how I saw everything. And there was a point when my first sponsor said to me that she really felt I needed to eat more breakfast. So breakfast to me, pretty much my entire adult life, should come in around 100 calories. Okay, that's like a piece of toast with nothing on it. And I flipped out. And I like literally for 2 days spiraling about this idea of eating more breakfast. Because again, it was black or white, right? So if I wasn't eating like 100 calorie breakfast, then she's asking me to eat like 1,000 calorie breakfast. And it took me really, I'm sure, longer than it should have to come around that. Like, she was just saying, like, have a piece of fruit, right? She wasn't saying I needed to eat like a full English breakfast every morning. So it's very black and white. It's very extreme. I've learned in program to try to find the middle way. And because I'm both a compulsive overeater and a compulsive restrictor anorexic, I need to walk this middle path. And that is the hardest thing for me to do, because my abstinence is no refined sugar. But you can gain weight in this program and still be abstinent. That was very upsetting for me to learn. I thought if I was not going to eat sugar, then I should get to be thin for the rest of my life. Sadly, doesn't work that way. And so in the 8 years that I've been in program, I now have a second sponsor. Both of my sponsors have been anorexic. I still struggle with the middle path. I still struggle with how to live my life according to the 12 steps and these principles. I do mostly have relief of the obsession. I don't spend all day, thinking about what I'm going to eat, how I can manipulate my food, what I can do. Currently, I do not send in my food or commit my food, but I have done at different times in the past. My current sponsor genuinely just doesn't care what I eat, right? She's like, that's not my concern. If you have an issue with eating, then you need to go see a dietitian and a nutritionist. That is not me. I'm your sponsor, not your food police. So right now I don't really have a lot of structure necessarily. And I have been gaining some weight, and I'm struggling right now with how to lose weight without being on a diet, because that's what I really want to do. I want to go on a diet. I'm good at dieting and I like it. But that's dangerous for me, so I can't do that. So how do I lose weight and still be healthy emotionally and physically and consciously in this program? So that is that middle path that's really hard for me to walk. But like I said in the beginning, like, it really is about staying in gratitude and remembering what it used to be like, how I was obsessed, how I didn't do anything other than obsess about food and exercise. And every single day trying to find this middle road, which is a struggle for me and not easy. But I kind of feel like as long as I'm struggling with it and striving towards it, then I'm probably okay. So I'll end there. I did actually do the 20 minutes, which is surprising. You never know. So thank you all for asking me to lead. And I look forward to hearing from all of you.